You will please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Last time we began looking at the last section of this chapter, where Paul gives several characteristics of a marks of a believer in Christ who is a vessel unto honor. And I want to read that section in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 19 and going through the end of the chapter, just to familiarize ourselves with it again. Beginning in verse 19, Paul says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Again, in verse 19, Paul is asserting that the church of Christ needs to be the foundation of God that is standing sure. That's God's expectation of every single one of his churches, that we would stand sure upon the truth. And that will happen as long as what? The end of verse 19. As long as those who name the name of Christ are striving to depart from iniquity. As God's people are walking in the Spirit, and as they're putting off the deeds of the flesh and seeking God first and His kingdom and His righteousness, then guess what? The gates of hell will not prevail against that church.
Amen.
Will not prevail against those people. But the fact is that not all of God's people are consistently departing from iniquity. The Bible talks about sins that easily beset us. And all of us have those weaknesses from time to time. And that's what he's telling us here. Paul actually illustrates that in verse 20, where he says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth." And then he describes it this way: some to honor, some to dishonor. And so you may recall the great house represents what? The church. He was just talking about that in verse 19. So verse 20, he's giving an illustration of the church. And Paul's point is that even in the church, that there are vessels that are honorable. There are vessels that are faithful. There are vessels that are useful. But even in the church, there are vessels that are dishonorable. Dishonorable, unfaithful, useless vessels. And obviously, it should be the goal of every child of God, every vessel in the house of God, that we would strive to be honorable vessels. That we would desire to be vessels that can be used in the hands of God. And in verses 21 to 26, Paul has set forth several characteristics that are really evidences of those who are honorable vessels. Again, this is one of those lists that we can read through and we compare our lives to them. And where we fall short, we just say, "Lord, we need help in this area." But this is God's expectation. The first characteristic that we noted last time in the first part of verse 21 is that an honorable vessel purges or cleanses himself. Look at verse 21. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." And of course, we said the these is referring to those things that would make you a dishonorable vessel. The things that he talked about earlier that you should not do. And he was saying concerning the truth, like Hymenaeus and and Philetus, that these guys were promoting that which was profane and vain. And so he says, stay away from those things. Don't give credence to those things. And they are to stay away from them. So that's what he says in the first part. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And the idea is a daily cleansing. Folks, we need to be cleansed every single day. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 13, he had an interesting teaching moment with Peter. You may remember the story where Jesus came to Peter and Peter told Jesus, thou shalt never wash my feet. And then Jesus replied, well, if I don't wash your feet, then you'll have no part with me at all. And then Peter replied in verse 9, he said, well, not just my feet then, but also my head and my hands. And, you know, his desire was, well, not just my feet, everything. Just wash everything. Because he wanted to have a part in Christ. But Jesus answered in verse 10, he said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And what Jesus was teaching there is that a person who has been washed in salvation doesn't need to be washed and saved again. However, in our race that is set before us, there are times we get dusty. We get tainted by sin. And he says that even though we are cleansed from the penalty of sin, there is this necessity for this periodic cleaning of the feet, which really get dirty as we run our races. And that was his teaching there. And so every one of us needs to understand that, yeah, we're saved. We don't have to worry about losing our salvation. But because of our sin nature, oftentimes we still yield to that. And when we do that, we need to reconcile with God. There needs to be that period of cleansing, that daily confessing and forsaking of our sin. An honorable vessel is sensitive to the working of the Spirit in his life as he reveals those offenses. And that's what you can count on. The Spirit of God will always reveal to us those issues in our life that need to be dealt with. Remember John's admonition in 1 John chapter 1, where he says in verses 8 and 9, he says, if we say that we have no sin, he's talking to Christians, he says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But then we know verse 9, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, honorable vessels do that. They recognize that they sin, but they recognize the need to be cleansed daily from the tarnishing of sin in their lives. So that you're always maintaining a close relationship with God. We looked at the next characteristic also in verse 21. It's really given by a single word. It's right after that phrase. And the word is sanctified. We mentioned how sanctification is that daily process of separating ourselves from the old man, from the sinful ways of the flesh, and separating ourselves to the new man and his ways. As the Bible describes it, his ways, and which are after God, Paul tells the Ephesians, that it is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he told the Colossians that the new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's what it is to be sanctified. Daily striving to put off those things that are not Christ-like and to put on the things that make us like Jesus. And so that's a daily thing. That's sanctification. It's part of our daily pursuit if we are honorable vessels. That's what honorable vessels do. They're concerned about that. And the third characteristic we looked at last time also in being an honorable vessel is, as he says in verse 21, after sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Now, last week I gave an illustration of a faulty hose nozzle that I replaced. And don't you know the same thing happened this week? I'm not kidding. It's Amazon. But, I mean, I bought two new ones, and now I replaced it again. But the pivot pin falls out. I don't know why. I've never had that happen before. But the pivot pin falls out. And, you know, it's been cold. You know, you go out, you want to just water the animals and come right back in. and that's not what happens. When you go in, if you don't have a pivot pin, the water doesn't come out of the nozzle. I mean, that's all you do, you squeeze it, and the handle just squeezes up against the hose, and nothing happens. And, I went out thinking this is going to be a quick refill, but it turned out to be an awkward, time-consuming effort that, I have to say, kind of got me a little bit angry, right? Because I wanted to go out, squirt the water, come back in, but no. I wanted to use one hand. No, I had to use two hands to try to do it. I found a screw that I could put in the hole. It wouldn't go all the way in, right? It was just one of those things. My point is that my hose nozzle was not available. It wasn't fit, and it wasn't ready. And so it messed up my time of filling up the dog's bowl. And but honorable vessels, what his point here is that honorable vessels or tools, they are always in good repair. And they are always readily available for whenever the master calls. That's an honorable vessel. And just like Paul's example of a good soldier in verses 3 and 4 of this same chapter, where he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ," he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." You know, whenever we allow ourselves to be entangled with the affairs of this life, we are never fit, nor are we prepared to be used by God. I was talking to my son Jeremiah today, and he's a first lieutenant in the National Guard, and he's over a platoon of men. And he said this past weekend they had their fitness test. And he said, "Dad, I had four guys that flunked." And I said, "This is the Army, right? I didn't think the Army flunked their fitness test." And he said, "Well, really, I have four chubby bunnies that they just couldn't make it. They just couldn't do it." And he said they gave all kinds of excuses. One guy said, "Well, I knew it was going to happen, but I haven't been running." And another guy said, "My knee was bothering me." And it's 2 miles, right? They have 20 minutes to run 2 miles. And of course, his argument to them was, if we ever got called onto active duty, you may have to run more than 2 miles for the sake of our country. And his point was that you're not fit and you're not ready. So he told those guys, until you lose weight and pass it, he says, you're not getting any benefits, any extras until he does that. And you know what? God ought to do that to us. You know, he ought to just say, look, until you get fit and until you're going to be available, I'm going to cut off all of your extras, right? So that's what he expects of us, that we would be ready. We'd not be entangled. Our honorable vessels are meet, that is, they are fit, and they are available. So now that brings us to verse 22, where we have the next characteristic of an honorable vessel. Verse 22 says this, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So the characteristic is actually revealed in the last three words of this verse. An honorable vessel has what? A pure heart. And what we have in this verse, folks, is kind of another subsection that's highlighting the attributes of a pure heart. Right. Overall, we're looking at the characteristics of a vessel that is an honorable vessel. But one of these characteristics is broken up into 5 different attributes of a pure heart. So an honorable vessel has a pure heart. And this is what that pure heart looks like. First of all, a pure heart flees youthful lust. That verb flee is kind of interesting to me. We get our English word fugitive from it, right? You know what a fugitive is? Did you ever see The Fugitive, you old people? Fugitive. But anyway, it's just like that. This is a command. This word flee is a command that reflects persistent action. Constant. It's continuous. Keep fleeing. Don't stop. I mean, what is a fugitive? Right? It's a person who is continually on the run in order that they not be captured. Right? That's the whole point. They're constantly running so that they can't be caught. Fugitives also recognize the need to be drastic to evade apprehension. You know what they'll oftentimes do? They'll change their identity. So they'll disguise themselves to be someone else. They'll alter their appearance. In their business transactions, they will only use cash to avoid leaving a paper trail. They'll move to isolated areas. Oftentimes, they'll actually go off the grid. No electricity, nothing like that, just so that they can remain hidden. And the thing that I thought was very interesting, really the number one thing that people do who are fugitives is that they avoid all electronics, because electronics would get them in trouble. Can you imagine people that actually live without cell phones, without computers? These people have nothing like that. They don't use computers, cell phone, credit cards, no social media. They avoid anything that would create a digital footprint that could be tracked. It's like they disappear from the world. Folks, the faithful Christian, the one with a purer heart, is always on the run. Should always be on the run from the sinful passions of their youth. You know, the sinful passions, those sins that easily beset you, they are constantly pursuing you. They are always they always try to squeeze into the forefront of your thinking. Right? And the devil tries to encourage that. Your flesh will always try to encourage that. You can count on it. And these need to be things that we are constantly fleeing. And folks, let me say this. You don't have to be young to be chased by youthful lusts. Old people are challenged by youthful lusts also. And of course, these lusts include more than just sinful sexual desires, but they also include things like pride, greed, anger, envy, strife, all of those things. Those sins that easily beset us. All right? Those are the things that chase us. Those are the things we need to flee from. We need to be like fugitives, putting off anything that would allow those things to catch up to us. They're kind of like predators trying to capture our affections every single day. And we've got to flee these things. If you want to have a pure heart, right? Sometimes we think, well, I can handle certain things. But if you want to have a pure heart and the Spirit of God says you ought not to be looking at this, you ought not to be going to this, you ought not to be doing this, then folks, we ought to be drastic and not do those things. Or we ought to take precautions so that those things can't affect us. But we're the ones that have to do it. I mean, we talk about drastic things like maybe you should throw your TV away. Maybe you should get rid of your computer. Maybe you shouldn't have a cell phone. Right? And your flesh says, oh, you'll never be able to live without a cell phone. You can't function in this world without a cell phone. I hate to tell you, there are a lot of people that function without a cell phone. There are. And they actually live quite well. And they are actually more aware of what's going on around them. Right? They're not... I was just talking to my son, Jared, and he was talking about a little boy, probably, I don't know, 13 years old. And he was on the campus of Bob Jones University. He was looking at his phone, and he ran into the corner of a brick wall. And he got, I don't know how many stitches, like 6 stitches in his head, right? Because he walked right. I mean, I've done some really not smart things in my life, but I don't think I've ever walked into a wall, because I had my nose somewhere else. But that's the kind of thing that we're talking about here. Those are the things that will trip us up and stain us and cause us to not be effective for the Lord. And so these things are like predators, and we got to flee those things. Now, a pure heart, just like sanctification, a pure heart flees from those youthful passions, but it's always got to flee to something, all right? And it needs to flee after what? Well, that's the next thing. It follows after or pursues certain thing. And again, the word follow here in verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow, flee and follow. Follow is a command also. So flee everything. Flee with everything that you have, with all the power that you have. You flee those youthful lusts. And with that same power, you follow with everything that you have that your heart may be pure. What do I need to follow? Well, the first thing he mentions is righteousness. Now, we all know what righteousness is, right? We should. Righteousness, right? Very basically, biblical righteousness is meeting our obligations to God and to man according to God's word. Right? It's not just being a good person. It's meeting our spiritual, emotional, physical obligations to God and to man. Because aren't those the two greatest commandments? Right? We love God first, that we love our neighbor. And so we are to seek after meeting those obligations. Paul tells the Romans in Romans 12 and verse 21 that the way to overcome evil is you overcome evil with good. Right? And that is an attribute of a pure heart. Always seeking that which is good. Your flesh is not going to guide you there. Right? In any given circumstance, your flesh is always going to guide you down the evil route. It wants you to be stained. It wants you to defile your own heart and those around you. All right. So your flesh is always going to want you to be defiled. It's always going to want you to go down the path of evil. But if you want a pure heart, you've got to determine that before I say anything, before I act upon anything, I've got to figure out what is good. And of course, everything that is good, we see in the Word of God. All right. So we need to be, again, students of the Word of God. And so we need to seek after that righteousness. Another attribute of a pure heart is that it also, not only does it pursue righteousness, it pursues faith. And we've seen this before. We looked at it in the context of prayer, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And of course, when we talk about faith, we're talking about believing. But it's more than believing for the believer, isn't it? Because we know the devils believe there is a God, right? But they don't trust in Him for their salvation. So belief, faith is believing that the Word of God is true and trusting that it applies to you. You've embraced it as your own. All right. And that's going to affect the way that you live. It's going to affect the decisions that you make by believing in the truth of the Word of God. It's reading commands like this and believing that this is the way that we ought to live. Why? Because God said it. Even though your flesh said, oh, it's so restricting, so fanatical. But God said it. And listen, God knows what's best. And God is saying, if you want to have a pure heart, and again, God is telling Timothy here, the church needs to be a foundation of truth. You need to stay away from iniquity, and you have to have a pure heart. These are the things that you need to incorporate into your life, Timothy. And you need to be preaching this if we want to be this way. And so God says it, we've got to believe it. And we've got to believe that even though it goes against our fleshly grain, that by doing so, good will come of it. Because we'll be obeying the Lord. And not only good overall, but good for us. Right? When we are led by God to do right, and we do it, then it will be good for us spiritually also. My spiritual growth, my effectiveness as a vessel in God's house depends on walking this way. And again, your flesh is going to argue with you about the need for this kind of living. The world will criticize you for it. Even the devil will try to distract you from this kind of living. But by faith, you've got to stand firm and say, I don't care what the rationalizations of the world says or the distractions of the devil. I know what God's word says, and I've got to abide by that. And that's what a pure heart does. It abides in faith. Another attribute of a pure heart in verse 22 is charity. Or what? Love. It's love. And we say a lot about God's love. You know why we say a lot about God's love? Because God says a lot about God's love. And how important God's love is over all of these things. Right? We've seen before where we can even do all of these things, but if we're not doing it with an attitude of love, we're nothing. It's not profitable for us. It is a love where God is our number one object of love. Our second object of love is then whom? We love God first and our neighbor as ourselves. That's the first two great commandments, right? And it is a love that focuses on the welfare of the one being loved. It is totally selfless. This love has nothing to do with self-gratification, has nothing to do with self-fulfillment. Folks, a lack of purity is a sign of self-indulgence. It's just wanting to satisfy any of the senses of the flesh. A pure heart is a sign of selflessness and self-giving. Along with what Paul says, Paul says an attribute of a pure heart is not only love, but one that also pursues peace. You know, love is a great motivator in pursuing peace. When you love this way, and of course, the example is Christ's love for us, right? When we love the way Christ loved for us, then that promotes peace in the body. It does. And that's what he's talking about. One of the greatest hindrances of peace among God's people is the desire to have our own way. Right, we get our way, and we think that our way is right. And when we don't have anybody that is, or if we have somebody that's going against our way, then the tendency is to break the peace. And we justify that saying, well, they're not on the same page with me. And that's not how peace works. Remember, Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:3 that we are to be actively what? Endeavoring. Endeavoring is pursuing, right? It's chasing after. It is looking for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of... Well, peace is part of a pure heart. That's what he said. One of the attributes of a pure heart are those that are peacemakers, right? Even in the church of God, we have peacemakers and we have peacebreakers. God's not pleased with peacebreakers. God wants us to be peacemakers. And that's an evidence of a pure heart. And this peace is to be pursued where? Look at again, verse 22. Among those that call on the name of the Lord also out of a pure heart. You know, pure hearts work together. Pure hearts love to work together. Pure hearts love being around each other. And they work together to call upon the Lord, and they work together to maintain the foundation that standeth sure. It's a group of us as mature, peaceful believers with pure hearts that strengthens the foundation of this church, right? That enables us to stand against the wiles of the wicked one. And so another characteristic of an honorable vessel is that he has a pure heart. He actively flees some things. He is actively following after other things. Again, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Again, if a man, therefore, verse 21, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. May the Lord help us to be those vessels that are vessels of honor. Read verse 19 again. Verse 9 tells us, verse 20, that even in this great house, there are typically vessels that are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. And my prayer for myself is, God, will you help me to be a vessel unto honor. I don't want to be a vessel unto dishonor. Help me, Lord, to embrace these things into my own life, to compare my own life to these things. And then I need your grace to help me to do that. May God help us to be possessors of a pure heart as one of the characteristics of a vessel that is honorable to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we do thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you for the church, for the promises to this entity, Jesus being the head of the whole church. We thank you so much, Father, for the church that you have put together here and maintained over the years. And our prayer, Lord, is that we would continue to be used by you. Lord, that we would be faithful in everything we say and everything that we do. But Lord, I pray that as we go through these characteristics of a vessel unto honor, as we even consider tonight the attributes of a pure heart, that Lord, we would compare our own lives, that we would take the time as students of the word to go back through and compare our own lives to these things, to see, Lord, where you are helping us and where we need more help. And I pray, Lord, that we would yield to the working of your spirit in our lives, that we would be conformed to the image of your son. Lord, you're worthy that we should be this way, so that we might not hinder the overall work of the church of God. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen.